And good morning. Like the man said, this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here until 11 o'clock. And everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. Dennis has been doing that all morning. Anything we talked about, any examples of anything we want folks to look at. So you don't have to go remember what we talked about. You can go to our website, computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And you can just go and see what those links were about. We don't collect any information. We don't sell you anything. Again, this is a public service of Tab Computer Systems. We are not interested in selling it. What we do here on this radio and the radio station has almost nothing to do with our day job, which is helping businesses with their IT. Yeah. But we're happy to help you guys in the common ruck, as it were, the Connecticutians of IT users out there with your IT problems. If we can, we do our best. We don't know everything. But we appreciate you guys chiming in here and getting some help. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Ray in Winsted next. What's going on, Ray?
Hello. Yes, I've been using Windows 10 operating system for quite some time, and I understand that it's going to be made obsolete this year, and I'm going to have to go to Windows 11. I keep getting messages from Microsoft telling me, hurry up and change over. for free, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
I'm just wondering what kind of problems I'm going to run into when I transition from Windows 10 to Windows 11. Am I going to have trouble finding items in the computer system? Is everything going to be changed around dramatically?
Well, yes and no. here's the question that I'm going to ask you. Do you have any peripherals that you connect to your computer? Like printers, scanners?
No, this is just a desktop computer. Okay. It's a fairly simple setup and so forth. Well, I've got a printer attached to it, but other than that, it works independently.
My guess is you can upgrade probably fine.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to find that the deck chairs have been moved.
Right.
And the interface. But there isn't really that much of a difference between 10 and 11. When you went from 7 to 10, it was a bigger difference.
Mm. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, much bigger.
I did do that years ago, and somehow I got through it, I guess.
Well, we all did.
Yeah, we all did.
But here's the thing. It's not that big of a difference. But, you know, there's going to be something in Windows 11 that works a little differently than it did in 10, and it's going to frustrate you, and you're going to be saying, well, why did I do this to myself? But... Mm. At this point, I would just go ahead and do it.
I have an issue.
Yeah, I guess one of the things I wonder about is I have a product called Nuance Dragon that I use for dictating. And I'm wondering if that's going to get thrown out by Windows 11.
Well, how old of a version is it?
Probably about 4 years now.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
That was from the Microsoft era. Microsoft actually ended up buying that product.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh,
they own it now. Yep. And they are slowly integrating its features into Windows. One by one, it's trickling in. Of course, they're going to still sell the product, but it's going to be doing more stuff in other ways. But there's already a little bit of speech recognition built into Windows already. But yeah, you're not going to have any problem with that product.
Okay. Well, I guess I won't be fearful then. I'll go ahead and switch over to Windows 11. They say I can do it for free now, so I guess.
That's why we're suggesting you go ahead and do it, because it will be free right now, but a month from now, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you guys very much. Have a good day.
You too, Ray.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I am having an issue with my Windows 11.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's frustrating. It's how, and again, this is a base function of a computer, how the mic and speakers work. I got to keep having HP refine the drivers, fix the issue with how you have sound on Windows 11. It's a pretty basic.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, every week we get maybe a call about that.
Yeah.
It's because of what HP did with their audio drivers at some point, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and they have never quite resolved whatever the bug is.
Yep.
It originally affected Windows 10. And it caused your computer to not see the audio hardware in the computer. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I do a test. I can't make it make a sound. I got to hit the fix it, and it fixes it. And it says, is it fixed finally? I say no a few times because it never fixes it the first time. And then finally it fixes
it. You can do all kinds of stuff, and it will come back.
Yeah.
And the reason is because there is a bug in their drivers that they have not removed, even though they have updated them several times over the past 6 years. And they're just not going to deal with the problem as far as I
can
tell.
They're going to make me deal with it.
Right.
Windows 10 was okay.
That problem affected this computer in front of me 6 years ago.
Gotcha.
I called HP support because I had just bought it.
Yep.
Guy got on there, helped me, got it back.
Yeah.
He turned off Windows Update Service.
Oh, jeez. Well, that'll do it.
And I read him the riot act for that. I said, there's no way this computer is not running with Windows updates.
Right, without it.
It's just not going to happen.
Right.
And I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Yeah.
But that's what his book told him to do. The bottom line is about a year after that, they did release an updated driver that has worked ever since.
For your version.
For my computer.
Yeah.
But there are other HP devices that are still having the issue.
And that's what I'm dealing with. And just so you know, any brand, right? We could pick a brand. They're going to have issues like this. So it's like,
with the devil. 10 years ago, when Windows 10 came out, it was a problem for Lenovo and Wi-Fi adapters in laptops.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
So and then you got CPU issues, then you got drive issues and hybrid drive issues.
Oh, and
video drive issues.
Dell video hardware 12 or 15 years ago.
Mm.
Similar issue.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work. All right, welcome to our lives. Let's go to Steve in West Hartford. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing well. I talked to you a couple of weeks back on some home internet and going to UMA, which I still haven't done.
All right.
But last week, I'm just wondering what this could be. Last week, I have a HP Pavilion.
Yep.
And it's just turned 2 years old. I turn it on as I do every morning, and it just didn't respond to any key to anything. It had black screen for approximately 5 minutes. Then a screensaver came on with no icons. The computer was unresponsive. The page, it said page unresponsive. Finally, I did get a screensaver on, and within half an hour, maybe slightly more, the icons filtered on. And in the meantime, when I clicked on them, it would take, you know, if I wanted to go onto Yahoo and I finally get on Yahoo, I want to go onto Amazon or Craigslist or something. Mm-hmm. The page would take 3, 4, almost 5 minutes to load.
Wow.
And I was offered Windows 11 a couple times. It's a Windows 10, you know, to upgrade to Windows 11. Mm-hmm. I had Best Buy put antivirus on it since I've had it, and I've never had a problem. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if this is a Windows 11 deal or...
What do you think there, Dennis? You think this is a hardware issue, software issue? You're running Windows 10 now, right, Steve?
I'm thinking it's a hardware problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it's either
the drive
or the motherboard.
So, driver, motherboard.
Yeah. If you reboot it, does it still do this after you go through all that pain?
No, never did it since. And this was last Sunday.
Okay. That's the thing about hard drives. They do kind of, well, they can just clunk and fail. In the old spinny days, they can just clunk and fail. You'd have to wrap it with the back of a screwdriver to get it to spin up again, or twist it. So you're like, try to spin it and get it going again.
Yeah, give it a good shake and a twist at the same time.
Or put it in the freezer. All those things don't really matter in a solid state drive, which I suspect is what you have, right?
It is.
Yeah. So you just could have a failing drive that is just showing that it's got a problem. Now, you can probably run a diagnostic on the drive. And depending, it's an HP, you said, Pavilion? No, Dell Pavilion, right?
HP
Pavilion.
No, it's an HP Pavilion.
Yeah.
It has the Intel Core i5.
All right. There's usually a little HP tool on the computer. It's like a little blue question mark usually.
Yeah.
So hit the bottom, hit the bottom left, or hit control panel, this PC.
Nope. You're going to hit start and you're going to look for HP support assistant, one word.
Yep.
Hit start.
HP support assistant.
Don't hit Steve, hit start.
And they do have diagnostics within that tool to check hardware diagnostics, and you want to run it to see if everything is healthy. And they could be. It could have marked the areas on the drive as bad, which the drives will do, and not have you use them again. You're supposed to be smart enough to do that.
Okay. Start button, start button. Oh, just power button?
No, the start menu button in Windows, down at the bottom left, the four little tiles, you click that.
Gotcha. And now I'm looking. If you needed a custom home or a hospital or something built, give me a shout, but don't ask me anything about computers.
That's all right.
What you're looking for is you're going to just click that and then type HP support assistant.
Oh, type it in, HP support. Oh, that comes up all the time.
Okay, then it's definitely is trying to tell you something.
Say HP support assistant app as a question mark on that.
Yep, and you're going to click that.
Click that, HP support assistant. Oh, I'm not connected to the internet. I use a hotspot for this here, and I just turned it off.
Okay.
I'm going to go on to HP support assistant. Anything in particular that I'm going to look for, I would imagine?
You're going to look for diagnostics. There'll be like a tile in the interface. You can click that. And then in the interface, once you're in the diagnostics panel, you're going to click on an option that says run hardware diagnostics. And it's going to have a little symbol of a heart with a orthoscopic line across with the zigzag. I'm not making it up.
No, I know you're not.
And then you click launch for that.
Okay.
And it's going to test your hardware. That's what you want to find out, is if your hard drive has got an issue. And we both suspect it does, or it was marked and dealt with.
And it might work better now that it's been done.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the issue could have possibly corrected itself.
Yes. Believe it or not.
HP PC hardware diagnostic.
And there you go. You're on your way, Steve.
Right.
And we're also going to post a web link to a website, HP support website, and on that is a button that would allow you to run diagnostics from there. But all it will do is it'll kick off the support assistant on the computer. It's another door to get there.
When you have your user account control, when you go into this and it says, do you want to allow this app to make changes?
Yes,
to
you
your
do.
Device? You do. Okay.
Yeah, because that's what it's going to do. It's going to diagnose your computer, and that's an admin function.
I do see the problem, right? You're the user, and you want to use a tool, and then the computer is asking you, hey, do you want to use this tool? And then you're saying to yourself, maybe I don't. And you're questioning yourself. Maybe I don't want to use this tool, but you don't even know what the computer is asking you. I understand. That's how bad it is when it comes to Microsoft, that you literally have to follow that logic. Do I want to use this tool? Maybe I don't. It just cracks me up. Yes, we are in the age of computers, and that's where we are.
Well, I told you right off the bat I'm a half-wit on the computer. So.
No, it's not you, Steve. It's the fact that it has to ask you, and then, of course, your brain went right to, maybe I don't need to use it. Maybe I shouldn't give you access. You don't know.
Well, that's actually the right response.
Yeah, question
it. It's just, say, ooh, I don't know.
The key is you never want to see that screen come up when you haven't asked the computer to do something.
If you're just sitting there using your computer, maybe you're browsing the web, and then all of a sudden it stops and does that.
Right.
That's when you say no.
And wouldn't it be helpful if that's what it told you when it came up? Did you initiate this, or was this initiated automatically.
Right.
They
it's
don't
almost
give you a
asking
clue.
The wrong question.
Yes. Well, of course.
It's no, Microsoft. I'm always very leery. I will never press anything upon being asked. It's like, yeah, okay.
I hear you.
But I do see what Dennis says when I clicked on it as diagnostics,
yeah.
UEFI. Here's the heart with the little
yep.
line.
Click,
like it's the,
click the launch for the heart. Yep.
It says installed, last checked March 29th, 2025, and I can launch diagnostics if I
launch
want
it.
To.
Yeah, launch it. And it might have to install something in order to complete that process, but go ahead and do it.
For more information, blah, 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 you can run it. PC hardware diagnostics UEFI by shutting down your system, powering on, and pressing ESC key followed by F2 key at the boot up menu.
It's going to take you through the boot time hardware diagnostics.
Okay.
Yeah, I would follow that process and do it if that's what it's telling you to do.
Because even when last week when my computer would not take any commands and it wasn't responding,
yep.
I could control alt delete key.
Yeah.
And nothing would happen. After I did that, I said, you know, let it rest instead of trying to shut it off. And it did initiate the screensaver.
Yeah.
Sometime. I can't say shortly after. It was definitely a few minutes after, but it got things rolling.
All right. Well, try these diagnostics, Steve. We're coming up against the bottom of the hour here. And
gotcha.
I hope it works for you.
Not as much as I do.
You're exactly right. But I do yeah. I do hope. All right, I'll think about you after the show. I'll be like, I wonder if it worked for Steve.
Well, I'll let you know. I listen every Saturday, no matter what.
So. Well, we appreciate that very much, Steve. Let us know.
Thanks again. Have a great Saturday.
You too. All right, I got yard work ahead of me, unless it rains. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Daniel, Clayton, Lewis, hang on. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we have four lines of calls. Now, we do start at 9, and generally you guys did call, but we start at 9. We're going to do our best to get your calls in, though. So let's go to Daniel in Colchester, who's been on the longest. What's going on, Daniel?
Hi, good morning. I have an issue with pictures from iPhones, copying them to Windows. The iPhone defaults at the HIEC format. I always change it to JPG because mm-hmm. when you transfer files, Windows has a hard time sorting and going through the HIEC because it's not a window program and you got to download an app to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sort files either by date or by name, it takes forever for those HIEC files to be sorted.
Yep.
My problem is you can't copy them easy convert them easy either because you lose the dates and the timestamps on them.
You don't lose the metadata.
Well, it does muck with them.
Does it?
The converters do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So you're going to have to start with it in a JPEG format so you avoid that, like you said.
I do that, but the problem I have is when I get pictures from other people that never change the format.
Yeah.
And HIEC is supposed to be better. I don't know if that's true or not, but okay. Well, that was my question.
It's lossless, but here's the thing. On your iPhone, you can change it to use JPEG as the default format that it saves in.
I do that, but it comes default. The other way, so the other people are giving the files.
Oh, you're getting files from people that way. Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Okay. So I do know. I do the JPEG. Okay. I think that's better. The other problem I'm having is when I download my phone about every quarter. Mm-hmm. I have about 1,000 to 2,000 pictures in that 3-month period.
Wow.
And when I download, you know, iPhones, you can read it. The iPhone has a hard drive, so to speak. And when I download the photos, it's arranged by date and year. But if there's one corrupt file, it stops the whole download, and I don't even know that, and sometimes I'm missing half the pictures. I have to literally go through each picture by picture or folder by folder.
Ugh.
You know
what I mean
on that?
That sounds awful. Yeah. Oh, so I'm not a big iPhone user, but I can't believe Apple has a corrupt file issue. All that quality.
But you know, the file's not corrupt on the phone. It's still, you can still see the picture, but when it's downloading, it only downloads half of it.
It gets corrupted.
Whenever, and this is on any copying, whenever there's a problem with the copying, it's copying two or three folders. If there's a problem, it stops the whole backup.
Yeah. And you don't even know where you were with it. And unfortunately, you have to use Apple's tools in order to do this. You can't use third party because that's the issue with the Apple ecosphere, whereas Android or other products could use different tools to make that file migration happen. I don't know of any other Apple file migration tools. Do you, Dennis? Or is it going to just be the Apple?
Well, he's actually using Explorer Copy.
Oh, he's not doing it?
He said he's using the iPhone as basically USB drive. Storage.
What about doing it the other way? What about doing it from the Apple side of the equation? Is there a tool within the
Well, you can have iTunes sync up with the computer.
That might make more sense.
Yeah, I don't like the phone to sync to the computer because other things happen too.
A lot of other stuff moves along with it. So.
So the copying as the hard drive is the best. And literally I have to go through folder by folder. There's like 850 files. I just have to make sure there's 850 files.
Okay.
If there's one corrupt, then
check out your cable, though, too. Around. You could have a bad cable.
Well,
no, it happens on multiple phones, multiple computers, multiple cords, and it's been an issue for from iPhone X all the way through. It's a software thing. But the next question I have has to do with Outlook, the one you buy that comes with Office.
Yep.
I have that, and when I do cleanup, because sometimes I put backups on top of backups, so I have multiple copies of emails, and I do cleanup. Am I just cleaning up the duplicates?
I don't know. Are you?
You don't know about cleanup in Outlook?
It depends on how you set it. Do we use that much, Dennis, as far as using Outlook cleanup?
We do it sometimes for some folks, not too commonly.
Not much.
Yeah.
I mean, you can set the configurations, I think, for when you want it cleaned up, what you want cleaned up.
You can configure auto archive and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an archive. It's deleting the duplicate copies in a folder, so in a
PST.
So if I copy a copy and make one, I have duplicate emails, sometimes up to 5,000. So if I do a cleanup, it looks for the identical copy of the file and deletes it and puts it in its own folder, but, you know, nothing with an attachment or anything. But I just want to make sure, it's not deleting anything, even though I do have the option, I know what you mean, you know, with the switches. But, you know, I just do the basic ones where they're identical.
I would say you can't trust it. You can't, because you can have the same corruption issues you're discussing in your iPhone in those types of tools, too. So, it's possible.
The question I would have is with string emails. I mean, like, does it delete like strings ahead of it and only keeps the last one and things like that? But I guess you don't utilize cleanup enough to.
We don't. The way we use backup, we want to backup the whole thing constantly.
Yeah.
We don't do it the way you're doing it. So the way you're using the tool is kind of foreign to us. But you know, when we see a PST file, we see it as something holistically being backed up forever. Whether it be on an Exchange server or on the 365 cloud, and doing it the way you're doing it is a little foreign to us. So the answer is you could. I would just based on knowing how the sausage is made when it comes to computers, you could be doing things you don't think you are when it comes to picking and choosing and, of course, deduplication. And you could still have corruption that produces a bad result. So the answer is maybe. Depends on how you're using it.
Yeah, I was going to say Outlook's own built-in deduplication doesn't necessarily look at the content of those emails that have long chains, and it doesn't look deeply into them to eliminate whatever's in common among those. It just compares one email to another. Is it the same? I'm not going to copy it.
Right.
That's all it does. So it's really not that thorough.
Well, I do want to get rid of exactly the same one. So that is what it's doing, and that's the basics of it.
Right,
But I don't do a running backup. What I do is back up the PDF, and then, like, if I have a problem, I load it over itself and so I don't miss the emails. So it's better just do a running backup always of the PST.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Well, that's what we do. Again, your email provider is probably running an IMAP mail system. So even if you lost the entire PSD, if you kept the history at the host, you probably all have it reconstitute.
Right.
Well, I delete everything from the host and everything.
You are a definite unique user, my friend.
I don't want them to have it. Yeah, so that's the problem I'm having.
You know what? Okay, all right, so here it is.
All right.
Here it is. Here's a solution, Daniel. Based on that one comment, I don't want them to have it. I don't blame you, right? So how do you avoid that? You go to an encrypted email system like Proton. Because guess what? Proton doesn't have it either. It's encrypted.
No.
So you can then stop what you're trying to do here and defending yourself from your providers by actually going to a provider who agrees with you. They don't want it either. Yeah. It's encrypted. You won't have to go through that rigmarole, and then you're just going to back up the local downloaded PST, and that's it.
Right. And the Outlook is with a Hotmail account, so, you know, they kind of work better than the most third parties. But, okay, I see where you're going.
Right.
Yeah, unique user, to say the least.
And just so you know, Daniel, what do you really think it's deleted off the host?
For me to get.
For you to get, but yeah, do you think it's deleted? I don't think it is.
No, the whole internet's mirrored.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Oh, and one thing I wanted to say is we're posting a link to a utility that will do file copies, and it will handle the problem of the corrupt files that don't move.
Oh, look at that. Look at that service.
It'll keep going.
Okay. Above and beyond.
It'll keep going. It won't move the corrupt file, but it won't stall the whole process.
And, you know, that takes longer. That's exactly what I was looking for. That's what I was hoping you'd have.
Well,
thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Greg, Clayton, and Lewis, we'll do our best to get to you. We'll be right back. Yes, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcasts out there because we've been doing this for quite some time, and you guys download it like crazy, so we appreciate it. And thank you for doing that. Let's go to Clayton in Bristol next. What's going on, Clayton?
Good morning. I have a new Dell desktop computer, and before I start it up, I want to know good software, good security for it.
Yeah. All right. This is the prescription we've been given for a long time, and even if my kids survived it, it's still good. The free Windows Defender that came with that machine is fine. So don't pay any. Yep, it's just fine. And then configure OpenDNS on your network and or that PC, and you will have a greatly reduced chance of being compromised by the common approaches to the compromisers that are out there.
All right. Thank you very much.
There you go. Free is good, right, Clayton?
Free is real good.
All right. We have the links up there for you if you need any instructions on how to configure it. You have to configure OpenDNS and just use the Windows Defender and you're good.
Configure.
OpenDNS.
OpenDNS.
Yes, that's the key. There's a little bit of configuration involved, so you have to follow the instructions. But once you do it, you're good.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So you'll be on a nice, safe internet versus the wild, wild west of the internet. Let's go on to Lewis in Glastonbury. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I get the free, conversion to Windows 11. My question is, I have a laptop HP and I have a printer HP. One is 7, 10 years old, respectively. They work fine for what I use it for. Now, if I configure to the Windows 11, would that mean I would have to load in new drivers for the printer?
Not very likely. Especially when it comes to HP, if they made the printer any time in the last 20 years, it's going to have a driver for it that will work with Windows 11.
Okay, because I try to use that printer with a work computer, work laptop, and I had to get the driver, and guess what? The driver is not available anymore, so I couldn't get that. So that was my question. So if I go to Windows 11, it's asking for that driver. Well, it's not out there anymore.
It probably isn't even going to ask. If the thing is working right now with Windows 10, it'll probably just use the same driver. And keep going. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. No, seriously, with the HP printers, that's typically how they work.
Yeah. And if that printer is that old that you can't even find a driver anymore, good for you. I can't believe you can find toner or ink for it.
That's the thing. I went to
Well, HP's got printers that are 25 years old that I can get drivers for.
Yeah, so you may not be looking in the right spot, Lewis.
I even had the IT people from my job, and they couldn't, yeah. They couldn't locate it. Whoa. So that's why I wanted to ask. I didn't want to get stuck.
But honestly, yeah, I don't see how.
Here's
it
the thing,
stop
Lewis.
Working.
What's the make and model of that printer?
It's a C4780 HPT Photo Smart.
C4780.
Yes.
HPT.
Yeah, it's an HP PhotoSmart. Right.
PhotoSmart. So if we find it in a matter of seconds on the radio, tell the whoever is managing those IT people to call Tab because they need to get rid of those guys.
If you find it and you can post it, that'd be great.
We will.
And hey, one more question. I know we're running on time. You talk about OpenDNS. So OpenDNS, is that computer specific? So like for my home use, my computer, but if I have my work computer, which may not like OpenDNS, is that an issue if I configure?
No, it shouldn't be. If you're working from home and you've set up your firewall to hand out IP addresses that send out the OpenDNS IP address, your work computer will be just fine. It'll just happen to be on a more secure network. That's all. All we're doing with OpenDNS is instead of being on the wild, wild west of the internet, you're on a more secure, safe internet. They are not going to let you go to the more dangerous places. They're not going to let you fall for the malicious links. That's all it is. And so your work computer will actually feel better.
Okay. All right.
It'll be like, Lewis cares about me.
And we do.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Love your show.
Thank you,
Lewis. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Thank you.
And
bye-bye.
We did find a driver page for that on HP's site, and we're going to post that for you.
So I'll expect a call from whoever your owner of that company is on Monday, because those guys don't know what they're doing. All right, Lewis.
Great one.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
I am going to give him one thing, though.
Yeah.
If you go to HP's site and you search the site driver section for that model, you will not find it. What you have to do is do a Google search for the drivers.
Yes.
And then you will get a link to HP's site where those drivers are stored.
And see, okay. So you know how, are you a big Star Wars fan?
Yeah.
All right. You remember when Dax talks to Obi-Wan? Right? It's the difference between wisdom and see the little marks on there, Obi-Wan? It's exactly the same thing. So those ding-dongs in his IT department did the HP thing only, but didn't take the second to go ahead and Google it? Come on, man. Really? You know, it's literally the difference between, you know, it's wisdom, right? It's really just knowing how to use a tool. Maybe the IT department's green. Maybe they didn't care to answer Lewis's question. Maybe this had to close a ticket and say, no, we can't find it. It was all a true statement. They couldn't find it on HP site. Yeah. Right? But that's the thing about IT, right?
Yeah. It's a little... Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And he's not wrong about that pause, right? Because it's like, yeah, I bet you we can find the answer to that. So, Greg... I don't know that I'm going to be able to take your call here, but we'll try. We got like a minute left, Greg. What do you got going on in Farmington?
Yes, sir. I have a Galaxy cell phone, and when I'm home, it's on Wi-Fi, so I can Google it. And but when I leave the house, the minute I leave the house, on the top right-hand corner of the screen, it clicks over to 4G.
Yeah.
And then I can't Google anything. I can't get directions. Yeah. I have no internet at all.
Yeah, you got to pay your bill.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me!
That's all it is, man. You gotta pay your data bill.
Is that
what it is? Yeah, if you can't Google anything, you're not getting any internet data because you're not paying your bill for internet service. That's the only reason.
I thought that switching to 4G meant something completely different.
So 4G is just the generation of cellular service you have, but if you're not paying for data in some way on your service, you're not going to get data. I'm guessing the only reason you're not getting data is because it's not part of your plan. So give them a ring or try a different service if you can, but that's probably your issue, Greg.
All right, cool. Thank you.
You got it, sir. All right. We appreciate all you guys calling in on this Saturday morning. We want to thank the great Matt Silver Royce, for coming in and slumming around with us on a Saturday. He comes from the big show, the weekday morning show. So we're very happy to have him. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at our Facebook page over at Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. You can join the Facebook page. Just ask. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. And if you follow us on X, you can go ahead and follow us at Tab Computer Sys. And of course, Dennis posted everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, so you don't have to remember the links.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We will see you guys next Saturday. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next.